A very good evening to you. Welcome along to this edition of Gospel for You. This program is about making sure that we bring you the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ in as many ways as possible in 59 minutes. Gospel for You is produced by Gospel for Grampian Radio and is presented by myself, Rob Rowe, the director and founder of Gospel for Grampian Radio. We're broadcasting from Victoria Gospel Hall here in Aberdeen in Scotland. And our heart, yes, to make sure that people are able to hear the gospel in different languages, for which we have a Your Gospel project. And that's to make sure that we are able to bring John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but shall have everlasting life. In different languages from around the world, there are very many languages, and we want to be able to bring you as many of these as possible. Some of the most common, of course, are English, but we want to be able to not only bring you English, but French and Dutch and German, which we do, and we'd love to be able to bring you a load more. Why? Because it's important that we go out to every people group. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And so this was a commandment of Jesus when he was on earth, before he was about to be taken into heaven, for each of his followers to go out and to tell the good news, to tell the good news of the fact that not only is God a living God and a holy God and a righteous God, but also a merciful God and a loving God, loving so much that he would send his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in our place. And of course, Jesus, as we would celebrate at this time of year, came to the earth in a human form as a baby, and he learnt something about the ways of the world while he was on the earth. He demonstrated, showed and spoke about the ways of heaven. Not everyone accepted him. And after he was crucified on the cross and then rose again, he appeared to his disciples and to a great many people before being taken into heaven. But the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ will come again, and that is the theme of this program, is that at Christmas we celebrate the birth of Christ as coming to the earth. Many people use it as an excuse for having a good time, and even back in whichever month it is, they will have been planning Christmas, and especially because last year Christmas did not happen for very many people, but this year I suppose there's a lot more hope. This program is to tell you that Christ will come again, and soon. In fact, we don't know the day or the hour when Christ will come, simply that the Bible says that he will. And as Christians, I believe in the Bible. I believe in what the Bible tells me. And it's my job to relate that to you. And this particular program will be filled with a scripture. We do have scriptures for this program, for this theme. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. "Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming." And John chapter 12, verses 46 to 48. "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Anyone who hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day." Now, this is something that Jesus had actually said. And These are words that we should take account of, to bear in mind. What will happen if I don't accept? What will happen if I do? Will there really be a last judgment? Well, I believe the Bible, and I believe that yes, there is, for each and every one of us. And for those who have died already, there is a judgment. And many people have died not knowing Christ. My job, our job, to tell people about this, that Christ really is coming back, and that Christmas is not an excuse for a good time, but perhaps a time to reflect, maybe on what's coming. Giving thought to these things. What else is coming up in this program? Well, we have a Your Gospel project, and we're bringing about the gospel in different languages. The gospel as expressed in John chapter 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but shall have everlasting life. Now there are over about 6,500 languages throughout the world, different nations, and many people do not even understand English. So we need to reach these people in different languages. I would just love it if we can have more people to come and read John 3:16 in their own native language. And we'd just love it if you do that. So please get in contact with us. And our email address is info@g4g.org.uk. We will tell you more about that later on in the programme and certainly towards the end. Your gospel today will be in Polish, Latvian and English. We've got a testimony from Sabina Chalmers, and she was actually in conversation with Harvey Stalker from Heart of the Matter team, where they talked to an interesting person. And Sabina has spent much of her time, her life in Hungary, Kuwait and Austria, being born to a Christian family. Her heart, though, very, very much for helping refugees, and that's what she's doing in Edinburgh. So we'll hear about that. We're also hearing an I Believe in God Because. We've got Kingdom Come with Fergus Buchan, and it's keeping the Ten Commandments made easy. So I hear more about that. And then we've got prayer. So rounding up with prayer toward the end of the program. Here's your gospel in Polish.
Ewangelia Jana, rozdział 3, wers 16. Tak bowiem Bóg umiłował świat, że dał swego jednorodzonego Syna, aby każdy, kto w Niego wierzy, nie zginął, ale miał życie wieczne.
Good morning, everyone. Great to be with you again. This is Heart of the Matter, the program that you know well. It's a mixture of interesting talk and good music. And so we hope that whoever you are and wherever you are, that you will join us for this hour, and we hope that you will enjoy every part of this program. Now today, we have with us a very interesting guest, and her name is Sabina Chalmers. Welcome, Sabina, to Heart of the Matter.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you on board. Now, Sabina, that's a lovely name. Where did you get that name?
I got that name from my Austrian and German parents, which is where I'm from.
So, your dad is Austrian?
Yes.
And your mom is German?
Exactly.
Right. And where were you born?
I was born in Germany, just in the south.
Tell us one or two cities that we might know about that are near where you were born.
Nuremberg.
Nuremberg, we've heard of that.
And I was born in Erlangen, which is just next to Nuremberg.
Near Nuremberg.
Yes.
Right. And that's in southern Germany.
In Bavaria.
In Bavaria. Okay. And so, obviously, you speak German very well.
Yes, I try my best.
We'll just carry on in English, if you don't mind.
That'll be great. Apologies for any grammatical errors.
No, I don't think that's going to happen. However, you didn't spend too long in Germany at this very early stage of your life. Tell us about these early years and what happened, because you moved, didn't you?
Yes. So I was born in Germany and was there for 4 years, and then we moved as a family to Hungary.
You moved to Hungary. Now, do you remember very much about Germany in those first 4 years?
Not very much, no. I remember when I look at pictures, obviously, and from what my parents told me, but we did always keep our house that we had as a child, so the memories of spending time in that home are quite vivid.
Right. So you moved to Hungary?
Yes.
And you went to school there?
Went to kindergarten and 1 year of school in Hungary, yes.
Right. Where about in Hungary then did you live?
In Budapest.
Right in the capital?
Yes.
In Budapest. And there's Buda and there's Pest, and there's a river in between, is that right?
That's correct.
Which side were you on?
In Buda.
Oh, right. Somebody told me that there is a bridge over the river, and it was built by a Scotsman. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Well, there
no,
you go.
There you go.
Unfortunately, I can't tell you. But it's a beautiful city, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really, really nice.
How long were you there?
Just 3 years.
3 years. So you're still really quite young.
I'm still very young, yeah.
Now, your dad's an engineer,
mm-hmm,
and
correct.
He obviously was being asked to go and work on this project and that project in different places.
Exactly.
So what happened after Hungary?
After Hungary, we moved to the Middle East, to a country called Kuwait.
Kuwait. Well, I think we've all heard of Kuwait. Kuwait is hot.
Very hot.
Very hot. How did you enjoy that?
It was probably some of the best years of my life.
Uh-huh.
So it was my late childhood, early teenage years, really formative years of my life.
And you went to school there, obviously, as well.
Exactly.
So in Hungary and in Kuwait, the schooling took place in using English.
Yes.
So you didn't have to learn a new language every place you went.
No, we didn't. We had classes in Hungarian and in Arabic, but the kind of everyday language was always English.
So you must have a wee bit of both.
Arabic and Hungarian?
Yeah.
No.
No.
Unfortunately not. In Hungary, I was too small to learn the language properly. And in Kuwait, unfortunately, because people come and go quite a lot, teachers weren't very invested in teaching foreigners Arabic properly. So I know a few phrases.
Now, what is a girl and a young teenager and so on? What do they do in Kuwait for fun or hobbies or recreation?
A lot of it is just spent in friends' homes. Kuwait is a very rich country, mm-hmm. So my Kuwaiti friends had beautiful houses with a swimming pool, and so most of my afternoons after school were spent swimming and having fun.
Well, that sounds very nice.
Yeah.
And then things began to get difficult politically,
yes.
And in fact there was a war that I think most people will remember.
That's
Tell
right.
us just a little bit about that experience and how it impacted your family.
Yeah, that's right. So in 2013, the Iraq war started, and Kuwait, being just south of Iraq, was quite impacted by that war. So all foreigners were evacuated quite quickly. Because I was in an American school, it was under threat of attack quite a lot. So when it came to the point that we had tanks and military helicopters surrounding our schools all day, they decided to shut it down and just evacuate us.
Wow, probably quite a wise move, eh?
Yeah, it seemed a bit surreal because locals, you know, local Kuwaitis just stayed in Kuwait, and it was just foreigners who were brought to safety.
And they couldn't go anywhere.
No.
I mean, they were already home.
Exactly.
Yeah. And where did your family go?
We went back to Germany to my childhood home.
All right. So you went back really to home.
Yeah.
In Germany.
One could say so, yes.
Good.
We did.
Now, am I right in thinking that your parents were and are Christian people?
They are, yes.
And you were raised, obviously, in a Christian home.
Yes.
Was that an important thing? Is that an important thing to you?
That is the most important thing in my life, actually. So my parents taught me the Bible very faithfully and taught me Bible stories. But actually, it was because we moved around quite a lot that as a family, our faith grew a lot together. Uh-huh. My parents would probably say themselves that their understanding of what Christ had done for them was less when I was growing up as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we'd moved to Austria, we really found a church community that preached the word of God faithfully. Mm-hmm. And as a family, we really came to understand.
Now, apart from yourself, do you have a brother or sister?
Yes, I have a brother and a sister, both older.
Right, there's a little group of three of you there. That's good. Now, during this period of time, you are now, a middle-aged teenager? and moving towards being 20, that kind
That's
of age.
That's right.
Was it about this time that you met a young man who has come to be a very important presence in your life?
Yeah, it was about that time.
Tell us how that came about.
Yeah, so I was leading a Christian youth camp in another part of Austria, and we needed some help from other youth leaders from other parts of Europe. And at that time, my future husband was in Romania with his parents.
He was in Romania?
He was in Romania, yes. So he is British, but his parents were missionaries in Romania.
Right.
So
he came to Austria to help in the camp.
Exactly.
And that's how you met?
Exactly.
Okay. And lightning struck.
Yeah. But a very typical Christian love story, meeting at a youth camp.
Very good. And subsequently, of course, you were married and you now live in Edinburgh.
Yeah, that's right.
And you were married when?
We were married in 2013.
Oh, right. Yeah. So you're an old married couple, really, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, 6 years.
So you married Alistair. And you've come to live in Edinburgh. So what do you do in Edinburgh?
In Edinburgh, I work for a project called Scottish Faiths Action for Refugees.
I've never heard of that, Sabina. Tell us about it.
Yeah, that's a project that is led by the Church of Scotland. And we work to support refugees across the country. And we support congregations and faith groups as they reach out and support refugees as well.
Now, of course, the media and newspapers and all the rest of it, they're full of stories about people moving, refugees moving, not least from the Middle East into Western Europe. And these refugees make their way to Scotland as well. Are there lots of them? And are they spread all over Scotland or are they just all in Edinburgh?
One myth is that a lot of refugees come to Europe. That's not true. There are very few numbers compared to other countries. Turkey, for example, hosts 3.7 million refugees.
Turkey has 3.7 million
Syrian
refugees.
Scotland has just about 3,000.
Mind Syrian you, we're smaller than Turkey,
aren't we? We're a wee bit smaller, but still.
You think there are about 3,000?
Resettled Syrian refugees. So Syrian refugees.
Oh, Syrian refugees.
Yes, there's refugees from other nationalities
right.
as well, and a big number of asylum seekers. Syrian refugees who've been resettled from refugee camps straight to Scotland are about 3,000.
Now, it's quite a difficult topic, this, isn't it, refugees? Mm. Because many refugees are very distressed. They've had traumatic experiences and they're needing somewhere to be quiet and at peace and have a steady, orderly life and make a new life, really. And then there are people, of course, in Scotland and in Turkey and in all these other
yes.
countries who are not quite sure what to make of all these refugees and how to deal with them. And this is the kind of difficult situation that you're working in now. Tell us a bit about that and what are some of the problems?
Yeah, so really we try to raise awareness amongst faith groups and churches about the issues that refugees face. But really what we tell people is that integration is a two-way process. So it's really important for people to understand that it's about giving and receiving from both sides. If we would like people to settle here, to make Scotland their home, to feel happy, welcomed, and to contribute to society, then we as a receiving community also have to make an effort to welcome them.
Mm-hmm. Now, some people might say, oh, well, refugees are here and they're really just living off the country and so on. What would your reaction be to that rather negative notion of what refugees are about?
Well, that's a myth. Really.
It's a myth.
Yes. I don't think there's a single refugee that I've met who wasn't keen and eager to start working and get involved and give back to the country. Unfortunately, asylum seekers, for example, who are still waiting to receive status here in the UK, aren't allowed to work.
Is this because they may not be allowed to stay?
Yes, the government still has to decide whether they're allowed to stay or not.
So that makes life very difficult for them, doesn't it?
Very difficult, very difficult.
And of course, a lot of refugees come with skills. A lot of them are bringing things that are definitely worth having.
That's right.
What would be the kind of range of skills that you've come across?
We have highly skilled people, doctors. I don't even know all the fancy terms for all these jobs. But we have taxi drivers and nurses.
Would they all be speaking English or would they have to learn?
Many have to learn English.
Ah, and they learn yes. Scottish English.
Yeah, actually, many of the children will know how to sing Auld Lang Syne quite quickly.
Very good. So you enjoy this work?
I love this work.
And it's challenging, obviously.
Yes.
And the refugees are, they're all over Scotland, are they?
That's right. Syrian refugees have been resettled all the way from Scottish borders to Shetland.
And you reckon there are about 3,000?
Yes.
Now, most recently, you and your husband Alistair, you went on a visit to Jordan.
That's right.
Now, what were you doing there?
We were there on a trip to support local Syrian refugees there as well. Jordan received a large number of Syrian refugees in recent years since the war started, and so we were there with a church that does incredible work to support these families who are really destitute.
Now, Sabina, you've made it clear that from your earliest years and then as a teenager when you began to think for yourself, that the reality of Christ in your life is just that, it's a reality.
Yes.
Has that been a matter of importance to you right through all of these experiences that you've been sharing with us?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially moving as a child to various countries, moving schools, making new friends, I think you come to a place where you question who you are, what is your identity, where are you from, where do you belong? And actually, what I really clung to is that the most important thing is that my identity is in Christ and everything that I have in him. And apart from him, I have nothing. And so Christ has been that stable rock in my life to carry me through.
Well, that's a wonderful testimonial from a young woman. Sabina, thank you so very much for being with us today.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Sabina, before we let you go, would you like to read us something from the Bible that's been important to you?
I would love to, yes. I'm going to read from John chapter 3, starting from verse 25. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one who you testified about, look, he's baptizing, and everyone is going to him." To this John replied, "A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I'm not the Messiah, but I'm sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, and I must become less." And that last verse, "he must become greater and I must become less." John the Baptist said that about Jesus. Jesus has to become greater in his life and he must become less. And that was the verse for my baptism. And it's really been a verse that is important in my life because that's what my life is about. Jesus must become greater and I must become less. And I think it describes the Christian walk very well.
And that is the heart of the matter.
Exactly.
As far as you're concerned.
That is the heart of the matter. Yes.
Thank you, Sabina. Thank you.
Olympian Tales. British athlete Stephanie Cook won the gold medal in the modern pentathlon at the 2000 Olympic Games in Sydney.
What I wanted to do was to go out there and basically be the best that I could be on the day, and hopefully in doing that sort of bring glory to God, and basically to just sort of fulfil what people believed that I could do and what I believed that I could do myself.
Stephanie is a committed follower of Jesus Christ, so has her success changed her outlook on life?
That day when I won the Olympic gold medal turned my life completely upside down. It has been a fantastic few years. It's gone by very quickly. And as I said, I've had the most amazing opportunities to do different things. But I hope in all of that that I've tried to sort of keep God at the centre of what I've done. And fundamentally, that's still me.
Jāņa evaņģēlijas 3:16. Jo tik ļoti Dievs pasauli mīlējis, ka viņš devis savu vienpiedzimušo dēlu, lai neviens, kas viņam tic, nepazustu, bet dabūtu mūžīgo dzīvību.
This is Gospel for You, and you've been hearing your gospel in Latvian. A testimony from Sabina Chalmers and your gospel in Polish. Just a reminder about our theme for today, for this program, which is Christ is coming again soon. And he will. We read through from 1 Peter 1 verse 13, and we'll do that a little bit later on once again. I'll be now giving you a reminder of John chapter 12 verses 46 to 48. I have come into this world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them on the last day. To remind ourselves of these particular days, 1 Thessalonians verse 5. Now, brothers and sisters, about the times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. I'm here to tell you, listeners, that there is a way. And Jesus said in John 14, verses 6 and 7, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way in which we can be saved but through Jesus Christ. Each of us has an opportunity made possible through Christ Jesus to come and to have salvation. Let's now continue with hearing from Fergus Buchan and the Ten Commandments Made Easy.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Kingdom Come with our new series of teachings. With me, Jess Priest, and Pastor Fergus Buchan from MMI London. Thank you all so, so much for tuning in and joining us again tonight. And we hope you are loving this new series of Kingdom Come just as much as we are. So last week's episode was on the topic of the rich young man in the book of Matthew and how much we're willing to give up for Jesus. And tonight, Pastor Fergus is going to be speaking and teaching us about how keeping the Ten Commandments made easy. So without further ado, over to you, Pastor Fergus.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's great to be back together again to talk about the things of God. Trust you're well and have had a good weekend, and you're getting ready to start your new week or in the middle of your week. It's good to have Jess Priest with me once again, and we're going to, I've got a really good thing to teach you today and for you to look into and chew on and pray about, because it's a revelation, actually, that I'm going to share today. It really is quite phenomenal because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, before we get any further, let us pray. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for this evening. I thank you, Lord, that we can come onto the airways. And I don't know who's listening, but one day we'll meet in heaven. Thank you for this word, Lord. And thank you, Father, that it will touch, encourage, and show people what the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, are all about and how they tie in. We give you, Lord, all the praise and all the glory tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, Jess. All right. So now, the commandments, the Ten Commandments. What am I going to talk about? Well, I know the Ten Commandments were given to Moses, and I know it's Old Testament. But think about it, and I know we're in the New Testament, and I know we're under a new covenant, and I know we're under new blood. I know all about that. But my question to you people tonight, and to you, Jess, if God wrote those commandments, could he take them back? Does God change his mind? No, can't. I know it's impossible to keep the commandments. I mean, I know that as well. Because not one commandment can you keep. And that is where we are at the moment with the Jewish nation, who are still living under the law. I'm going to ask Jess. She's an honest young girl. Can you keep all the commandments every day?
I mean, no.
No, I can't.
No, it's, you know, you obviously try as hard as you can.
We do.
We're human. And
you slip up, so we repent. Yeah. Okay, so we repent. But there's a way, Jess, that we can keep the commandments. thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, commit adultery. Okay, I mean, those we don't do. I mean, those are obvious ones. But there's other ones that are a bit more subtle that we break. Okay, so I know it's impossible to keep the commandments, and the Lord Jesus Christ knew that as well. That's why he showed us this in Matthew, confirming it in James. That's the half-brother, you know that, of Jesus Christ. So, okay, so let's get the scriptures. Let's see what happens here. Now, we're going to Matthew 22. I'm reading from verse 35 to 40. And then I'll give you the scripture later when we close up. All right. So verse 35 says, then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, first of all, the Lord doesn't speak too kindly about lawyers. I've got some friends that are lawyers and advocates, and they're also judges. I love them. They're Christian men and they're good guys. But, I've had some dealings too with lawyers. Anyway, I suppose you've had some dealing with golf pros too. Anyway, we won't go down that road. But this man here, I don't mind anybody asking me a question. I don't like to be tested, though, Jess. Okay, but now you're testing God. That's a whole. I'm nothing. I'm a little grain of sand compared to. He's testing God, and he says once again with a bit of arrogance, a teacher. He's not teacher. He's God. This man was deceived and blind, obviously. So we'll give him a little bit of rope. Which is the great commandment in the law? Do you people out there know the greatest commandment? You should be able to quote it by heart. You should, because this is the greatest commandment given. And the Lord Jesus is going to say to this lawyer now, and I'll read it to you. Jesus said to him, this is the Lord speaking, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. So we're not in the Ten Commandments yet, but there are Ten Commandments, nevertheless. But then he says, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Are you getting an inkling now? Jess is. She's not in her head already. And then he says in verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Hang on, Lord. We're all a bit slow here today. On these two commandments, that is, love your God with all your soul, all your mind, all your heart, and all your strength. Right? One. Two is love your neighbor as you love yourself. Right. He says, on these two commandments hang all the law. So on all the commandments the Lord God gave, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, is fulfilled by loving your neighbor. You still a bit confused? All right. I'll make it really easy for you. If I love my neighbor, am I going to steal his motor car? If I love my neighbor, am I going to make eyes at his wife? If I love my neighbor and he happens to be black or yellow, what other colors we got in the world? Am I going to hate him? No, because I'm called to love my neighbor. The Lord doesn't say, well, only love white people because I'm a white man. That's what I am. He made me, so you sort it out with him. If you're a black man, you're a black man. But he doesn't say that. He says, love him. So if I love my neighbor as I love myself, when I'm in business, am I going to steal? If I'm going to put in a tender, Jess, am I going to say you'll get the tender if you put 10% on for me? Oh yeah, I've seen it. I mean, it just happens all around the world. And the poor person that puts the honest tender in is not going to get it. By doing that, you're keeping the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses. Yes, you slip up. Yes, you can make mistakes. But by loving your neighbor, you've covered a lot of them. Now, there's a title to that. And I haven't caught up anybody, by the way. I'm not here to trick people. There's a title. It's called the Royal Law. Well, where do you get the royal law from? I'll show you where you get the royal law. God God understands, the Lord Jesus understands even better, because he walked on earth as man, being God. He knows us. He felt and suffered the same things because he lived in the flesh. I mean, you're going to tell me, I know he was God, but you're going to tell me, Jess, when they put those nails through his hands or beat him with his ribs showed or put a crown of thorns on his head, he didn't feel pain because he walked in the flesh. He must have. So he knows us. He knows we cannot keep those 10 specific commandments, but he ties it up. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Right, so let's find out. You're saying to me, well, where is this? Well, turn with me to the book of James, please. James, the half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first leader of the Church of Jerusalem. Go to chapter 2, verse 8. James, chapter 2, verse 8. This is James speaking. Now this is going forward after the Lord was crucified and rose again. He says this: if you really fulfill the royal law, according to Scripture, what did I say just now? You just, there's a royal law, didn't I? Mm-hmm. Okay, so he just said it, didn't he? There. If you really fulfill the royal law, according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Wow, there it is. And he finishes it off by three words: you do well. There's confirmation from going back to Matthew 22, 35 and 40. I pray for all nations that are walking in unbelief, around the world. We're not just talking about the Jewish nation that are deceived and still living in the Old Testament times. I just pray that they would understand that by loving your neighbor, they can still fulfill the commands of the Lord. I still love those commands, the Ten Commandments. Sadly, in America, they've been taken out of schools, out of courts, homes, because they don't want it, you see. They want to live in the filth, the sin. Is America a good place at the moment since they've done that? I don't think so. You chase God out, who comes in? Oh, you better believe it. You better believe it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, and you fulfill God's commandments. So I hope this has been a revelation. I hope that you folks have understood this and you've got it clear. Because if you haven't, read those two scriptures and simply go and pray about it. And I'd love to hear your comments. We're waiting for comments to come back from you folk out there. Come on, you've all got computers. You've all got iPhones or cell phones or laptops. Send us some comments. We'll answer you. We'll come back to you. So, brothers and sisters, walk in the total belief of Holy Scripture. Walk in believing every single thing written in the Word of God, because it's true and it corresponds. I know many men didn't know that Scripture was in James. And woman. Not knocking anybody. I just spend an awful lot of time in the Bible. That's all. Am I one of the scholars? No, I'm not a great scholar. Am I a theologian? No, I'm not either. I just love Jesus Christ. And I love his word. And I believe his word. Because, Jess, a question. If you're some churches, modern day churches, don't believe in the Old Testament. Okay, that was for old times. We only serve Jesus Christ. Yes, that's lovely. That's great. Well, then, if you don't believe it, why don't you tear the Old Testament out of your Bible? Chuck it away. Or go to Exodus where Moses got the Ten Commandments. Tear those pages out. Chuck them away. How can you chuck a bit of the Word of God away? It's not possible. So please, be encouraged. Read your Bible with scriptural eyes, spirit-filled eyes. Don't read it like a book, because it'll make no sense to you. So I trust this has been a good teaching. I'm trusting this has been a good revelation today, because it was a great revelation to me some 10 years ago. Still a great revelation for me today. So brothers and sisters, be encouraged. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time again. I thank you, Lord, for your word, that your word from Genesis to Revelation is true, just, and fair. And Lord, anything and everything you've written, I believe. And so does Jess. I'm talking for her, Lord, as I pray. Because you wrote it, that settles it, I believe it. So thank you, Father, for tonight. Lord God, bless these people that are listening. Open their spiritual eyes. And Father God, I pray blessings, favor, and protection over them and their families tonight. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Till next week.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Fergus, for that and for teaching us today and for sharing that with us. And thank you to everyone that tuned in again tonight. If any of you have any questions or prayer requests, please send them in to our new prayer email address. And it's mmi.londonprayer@gmail.com. And please, it's all confidential. If it's just, you know, something lighthearted and a question you want to send in to Pastor Fergus, or you need maybe some counsel, or maybe you just want to tell us that you're absolutely loving our new series of Kingdom Come. Either way, we would love for you to write in. So we'll see you all next week. And don't forget to tune in and join us every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Until then, God bless.
Fergus Buchan with Kingdom Come and the Ten Commandments Made Easy. This is Gospel for You. Our theme is Christ is Coming Again Soon. And the object of this part of the program is about prayer. Prayer, in this case, bringing together the various aspects of things that we've heard in the program to do with this theme directly. We have a number of scriptures, and I'll read them through again, and there'll be an extra scripture too, and then we'll be praying through that, and towards the end of the program, we'll give you an opportunity to respond. If any of these things that you've heard have made you think and you would like to accept Christ as Lord and Saviour, then the opportunity will be made available. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13. Be holy, therefore, with minds that are alert and sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. John chapter 12, verses 46 to 48. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. And our last scripture for today is 2 John 1 verse 7. I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Very strong words. How does it all add up? Well, one of the things that we can do is to bring all this together in prayer. And that's exactly what we're going to do. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only you, Lord God, by your Spirit, can bring together that which people have heard in their minds and in their hearts. Lord God, we're asking you, Lord God, to make these scriptures sing out to people, that they would understand in a real way what we have been saying in this program, what we tell people through Gospel for You and through Gospel for Grampian Radio. Lord God, we know that Christ is coming again soon. We know, Lord God, that your Son, when he was on this earth, said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We understand, Lord God, that there is only one way by which we can be saved, but that anyone who does not come and does not accept Christ as Lord and Saviour, that person, by the words that your Son has spoken, have already been judged. We understand, Lord God, about your simple word. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Lord God, these scriptures, we're speaking back to you, because we know, Lord God, that you can help to make sense of these things in people's hearts and in people's minds. Many people don't understand because of the cultures of this world, the things that they have been told, the things that they understand, the things, Lord, that their hearts are set on. But I pray, Lord God, that you will create a light in people's hearts. As you said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That people will understand. That people will know. That people will want to hear. That it will make sense to them. And they will be able to understand that you, Lord God, are truly the way, the truth, and the life. You, Lord God, you truly sent your Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross in our place. Thank you, Lord God, for that. Amen. Listeners, I thank you for listening to us over the time so far that we have been broadcasting on European Gospel Radio. This program, Gospel for You, is an opportunity for us to tell you the good news of the gospel and to bring it into sharp focus, which we are attempting to do again in this program. These scriptures, and indeed the signs of the times, are telling us that there is only a small window of opportunity, and even in terms of time left, for people to accept the gospel. And it is our job to keep bringing this as long as we are able to do. We want to make sure that people have ample opportunity before it is too late. And we hope that you'll forgive us for continuing on with this. But the fact that you are listening to us at this time suggests that you do want to hear. And you do want to hear how Christ can make a difference in your lives when there's so much that does not seem to make sense. So many situations that the world creates that are within families, that are within situations. And I know that many people can't make sense of them. There are scriptures that tell us also about God's love. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 tells us, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper, not to harm. Plans to give you hope and a future." God is most certainly for us. And if we ourselves are ready to turn to God, repent, seek God's face, and turn from what we do wrong, but accept Christ into every situation in our lives, that's when God will start to make a difference. And God's word tells us that he will come and he will heal our lands, even what is wrong, even what is so badly wrong. Don't forget, God is the creator of the world. God knows, and God cares, and so do we. There are other scriptures. Our core scripture for Gospel for Grampian Radio is John chapter 10, verse 10, which says, "The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I've come that they may have life to the full." You could almost paraphrase that as, whatever life the world throws at you, Christ has come that each person should be able to live life to the full. And that's not talking about a life of mediocrity, a life of doing what you please, but a life that is totally enlivened through faith in Christ. Yes. God wants the best for each one of us, and he wants that so much. That is why he sent his son Jesus Christ to the earth, which we celebrate at Christmas time. And then Christ died on the cross for each one of us, his body broken, that he was shamed, that his blood was shed. And why? Because of God's love for each one of us, so that none of us would go to a lost eternity. There's a song which we sometimes play on Gospel for Grampian, and some of the words, listeners, are quite striking. The words pass into the night. It is actually a hymn, I believe. But these words actually sound horrific. Many people pass into eternity without fully realizing the consequences. We want to give you the opportunity to fully realize that our time here on earth is short, that there is a living, loving God in heaven who created the earth, the heavens, and everything in them. And this same God, who is known by just so many names, it's the same God who is referred to as a judge. But he sent his only son, Christ, to die on the cross in our place. Coming up very soon, listeners, we're going to have the Father's Love Letter, which is a selection of scriptures which have been drafted together to compose, to provide a letter of love as written, inspired by God. I'm believing, listeners, as I said earlier in the program, everything that is written in the Bible. And yes, I also believe the earth was created in 6 days, not as we necessarily know it. And you might say that's a get-out clause. But what about this scripture about a day being like 1,000 years and 1,000 years like a day to God? Because eternity is forever. And we weren't there when the world was created. So none of us can fully say for certain exactly what happened. God was there at the start, and I fully believe that he was, and I fully believe that he created the earth, and I fully believe that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in our place. And that opportunity is there for you too. We're going to be finishing our program fairly soon, but I would like to leave the opportunity to you open to listen to the Father's Love Letter and make a decision, perhaps even for yourselves, to accept Christ Jesus as Lord and Saviour of your lives. And why not share the programme to others so that they might hear and know too? If you'd like to get in contact with us, it's info@g4g.org.uk. But in the meanwhile, I'm going to say thank you very much for tuning in. We're going to be finishing off with Father's Love Letter and then your gospel. Well, your gospel, in fact, will come right now. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes shall not perish but shall have everlasting life. God bless.
My child, this is an intimate message from God to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake. For all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry. I am the complete expression of love, and it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than any earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with joy, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all of your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are broken-hearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you, even as I love my son Jesus. For in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home, and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been father, and you will always be father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad, Almighty God. Would you like to come home? All you need to do is simply believe that Jesus died in your place to make a way for you to be born into his family. The following words might help you express your thoughts to God. Father, I want to come home. Please make me your child. I turn from my sin and accept your forgiveness made possible through your Son Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. I place my faith and trust in Jesus alone to save me. Thank you for making me a part of your family. Amen.
If you have prayed that prayer and you have made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can start to pick up your Bible from the shelf and read God's Word. You can also drop us an email, info@gospelforgrampian.g4g.org.uk. From there, we will help you get to a church which is local to you and will help you guide you in your newfound spiritual life.